Good evening and welcome to the Dome Patrol United's Premier League podcast with its Euro 2020 special. First round of games have finished, recording this at the final whistle of the France-Germany game, so we thought we'd get together and just review the first round of games, which teams have looked good, which teams haven't, players, goals, decisions, all that kind of stuff. Joining me as usual to talk football or soccer is Ben. Ben, how are you?
Yeah, good mate, good mate. It's the first round is group stage is done. Absolutely flying by. So a lot of talking points obviously to discuss as well.
Yeah, the football everyday thing I'm a fan of, and it's going to be weird next Wednesday, Thursday and Friday where we have no games.
Is that true?
Yeah, because it's the end of the last round of, or is Wednesday the last round? I think Wednesday might be the last round. There's no games Thursday, Friday. Anyway, there's 2 days next week with no games. Not looking forward to that at all. Not looking forward to that at all.
So, is there cricket those days?
I think the India-New Zealand test match starts.
Yeah, great.
I think. Okay. Yeah, great.
We've got a bit of cricket though.
We have. There'll be something we can talk about. Something we can watch anyway, put it that way. Uh-huh. So, first round of fixtures is over. Every team has played once. First question, I guess, is, Ben, which team or teams have stood out for you in the first round of fixtures and why?
I think the standout to me have been Italy in the opening game. Turkey coming into it were quite highly tipped.
I think we both had them as dark horses.
Yeah, and they really disappointed. I don't know if that was because of how good Italy were. I think playing against Italy in Rome was always going to be hard. But yeah, Italy were very good. They're the only team that kind of blown me away, I'd say.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Italy were good, looked good from the first minute, and pretty much dispatched a decent Turkey team without too much trouble. Like you said, the home advantage helped. You know, there was only, I think it was 16,000 fans in the Olympic Stadium. It sounded like a lot more.
Yeah.
It sounded like a lot more. Whilst we're talking about Italy, got to say the opening ceremony that they did with Bocelli singing Nessun Dorma, that was absolutely brilliant.
I thought you were going to say about the little car.
No. Well, the little car's disappointing because they've only done that at that game.
Yeah,
I thought you know they might have like a Ferrari in Italy and an Audi in Germany and a Mini in the UK, but
Aston Martin
or something like that. But they've not done it since, so it's a bit of a false hope that. Yeah. Belgium did what I thought they would do to Russia.
Yeah, Russia's not a good squad.
Russia weren't a good team. The best game of the first round of fixtures was the Holland-Ukraine game on Sunday night.
Yeah, I had that one circled. That was brilliant.
That was the best game.
Great to see, but I just love seeing the whole in the old, what do you call it, the Dutch kit, the bright orange.
Yeah.
Just something about seeing that and going, yeah, you know this is a good team in the major finals. I don't know if it just brings back memories of the old Dutch team.
It's almost comforting that the Dutch are back in tournaments, isn't it? Because they're always pretty good. England.
Yep.
I was impressed. I know we spoke on text before the game where you had your opinion on the lineup that he played. I thought they played well. They restricted Croatia to very, very little. And I think you're going to see England stretch on now for the next two games in the tournament. But overall, I was very, very impressed with what England did on Sunday.
I think for the first 15 minutes, I thought we were absolutely superb. And when every game of the team's talented enough, to matter who we're playing against, where we will get 15-minute spells like that, we just need to put the ball in the back of net and capitalise on those moments, I think, a bit more. I think if we scored within that opening 15 minutes when we were on top, I honestly reckon we would have won 4-0. Easy.
I've got a feeling that Friday, if we score early, it'll get ugly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With the lineup, I think Southgate's going to, I think he might be playing the long game a little bit this tournament, knowing how much football these players have played. I think you'll see a different lineup in the group stages every game, I think. I don't think he'll stick with the same lineup each time. I would, like, Jadon Sancho wasn't even on the bench against Croatia, you know, what kind of surprised me a little bit. But I think you'll see a rotation across the group stages, especially with now we've got our toughest game out of the way.
I'd be surprised if we play two holding midfielders in the next game.
Yes, I agree.
But then
with that.
Phillips didn't play as a holding midfielder.
No, he played very well. And will you change winning formula? I'd still go a little bit more attacking and put Bellingham in there.
In place of? Because I don't think you can drop either of them.
No, you can't. This is the problem. But
if you're dropping Mason Mount, then?
No. It would be one of those two, and I wouldn't want to be the person making that decision. To play a team like Scotland, you just say, right, I'd probably rest the player that probably needs... Well, you know, you've got all the data, haven't you, in the training. You look at who's the most fatigued out of those two, who's recovered the... You know, who hasn't had the best recovery since the Croatia game. And you probably just rest that person.
I think both Phillips and Rice will start against Scotland, and I think Grealish will come into the team because you're going to need a bit more of a tricky player to try and break Scotland down. I mean, we've jumped into a bit of an England-Scotland preview here a bit ahead of time, but we might as well carry on with it now. We're going through it.
It's the big one.
I wouldn't make many changes to the starting lineup. The only change I would probably consider making is maybe not start with Foden and start with Pace on the other wing opposite. So Sterling deserves to play again.
See, I know he got the goal, but I didn't think Sterling was that good.
No, he did what he needed to do. And I don't think
I would like to see Sancho, a fresh Sancho, get a run out. I reckon run at them and stretch them.
Yeah,
I want to see a left-footed player at left back.
Scotland. Well, look. I had no issue with Trippier playing at that position at left back. We had nobody else in the team to hit dead balls with the team that he was playing.
Yeah, but when Grealish comes in, potentially.
Well, yeah, potentially. Yeah, potentially. But I would be tempted to play, because Scotland are going to stick five at the back, and you're going to need tricky players, Pace, to try and open up the gaps. And I think that's where you might get Grealish and either Rashford or Sancho coming into the team.
Bukayo Saka, maybe?
I think he's behind Sancho. Well, maybe not behind Sancho, because Sancho didn't make
the squad.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd be surprised if Saka started, but that's not to say he won't come off the bench.
I think Saka might not play this game, but I think you might. If we win against Scotland, I think you'll see the likes of Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Saka, and people like that start against.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm just going to call it right now. England score early in that game. England are going to put four past them.
I did say they'd lose 6-0 every game.
You did. Well, they didn't lose 6-0. They didn't lose 6-0 yesterday.
They were shocking, though.
They were really.
Everyone's like, oh, they just didn't take their chances, and I was like, well, Czech Republic team aren't great either.
Yeah. No. Well, I think the interesting game in the group is going to be the Czech Republic Croatia game. Yeah. That could be interesting. But I'd like to think that England will be going into that Czech Republic game with two wins and have the ability to rest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not necessarily rest, rotate. Rotate. So yeah. I mean, like I said,
I think that's how you win this competition, I think, is with, because how crammed the season's been because of COVID. I think that's how you win this competition, is by keeping players fresh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, like I said, we've jumped a bit ahead with the England preview there. There is our England preview. Back to the tournament as a whole. Disappointing teams. Who's disappointed you? Well, I'm gonna say straight away that Spain disappointed me last night.
Boring.
Boring, and nobody to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, obviously we mentioned Turkey. I don't know if that's just because of the brilliance of Italy or not. But yeah, Spain, because they've just got a lack of striker, aren't they? They've just got written quarter finalists. It's last 16 written all over them, haven't they? I was really disappointed with Germany. I don't think this German team's that good.
No.
I think we can. I think we could beat them if we play them. But I just got our prediction for. Player of the year got off to a player of the competition got off to a good start tonight, didn't he? Kante again was fantastic.
He's everywhere.
He's ridiculous.
He was absolutely everywhere. I mean, France tonight played at 70%, 80%. Yeah. When they needed to, they ripped Germany apart. And obviously they had two goals disallowed for offside. One was way offside, the other one was a lot closer. But you just got Poland. The feeling. Yeah, you just got the feeling tonight that France were toying with Germany a little bit.
Yeah, Poland very disappointed me as well.
Yeah,
Lewandowski didn't have a touch in that game.
Yeah, I was never really that high on Poland to begin with. What has been your goal of the tournament so far? There's only one, isn't there? There's potentially two. There's the Portugal goal. The third Portugal goal tonight was good.
Yes, that was good. I also liked the Ukrainian goal against the Netherlands. But I'm giving it to the Czech Republic goal against Scotland. A lot.
It was unreal.
50 yards.
It was unreal. I mean, I was
and
I was,
the memes. Like, the memes of David Marshall coming out. Oh.
Yeah, I was at work in the office yesterday, so I couldn't watch that game live, but I was following it on Twitter. And then obviously very, very quickly after that goal had gone in, people were tweeting the goal and you're watching it. And it's like, yeah, that's a pretty special goal to do in that.
Yeah.
In a European tournament to score from just inside the halfway line. And it was better because it didn't bounce until it went in either. When a goal from distance is struck, it's always better if it goes in straight without bouncing first.
I agree. Switzerland should have buried Wales by the time they got the late equaliser. After Switzerland were miles on top and went 1-0 up, and I just thought, here we go. So floodgates would open. I put a tweet out saying there's no way Wales get a single point in this group. And that kind of backfired on me a little bit. And some lovely Welsh fans are remind me of this on Twitter every day at the moment. So thank you to them.
I think they'll get beat tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they will. Yeah, that's a hard game they've got tomorrow. But there's only one thing really to talk about, the standout thing with this first round. It's not really a nice topic to talk about. But the thing that the incident with Christian Eriksen was just a reminder of how precious life really is to people.
The worst thing I have seen on a football pitch in my 40 years of watching football. You saw him go down and you knew straight away that something wasn't right. You thought it was maybe, you know, he taken a bang to the head or something earlier on, yeah, or something that, like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And he's hit the floor, and obviously they've stopped the game really quickly. Now, credit must go to the referee for recognising almost immediately that something was wrong.
Yeah.
And then obviously the players came running over, and you could tell by their reaction that something was badly wrong. And there's a couple of things that, you know, before we talk about the good that's come out of it, the TV director zoomed in on his face,
yeah,
as he was on the floor before they covered him up, right?
He was pretty much dead when they were zooming in.
Exactly. He was gone, and you're watching it, and my jaw is on the floor watching this. And then obviously they come on, and then there's just a sense of panic from the medics. And I don't know if you can remember it, but they're watching it and they're looking at him and they lie him on his back, and then everybody panics for about 5 seconds whilst they realise what has happened. He's not breathing and there's no pulse. So we go on to the Danish players forming a barrier so people can't see what's going on. Now, unfortunately, they weren't able to block everything out, and the TV director insisted on showing and filming the players whilst they were performing CPR behind, and you can see them doing the chest compressions.
Yeah.
That was horrid to watch. I mean, I was downstairs watching it, and my wife was upstairs, and I was like, and I shouted her, and I was like, somebody's dying on the football pitch, you know.
And they're just showing it. Down,
and you're watching it, and then they cut away, and then the commentators are waffling on. The commentators got no idea what's going on.
And you can't blame them. They've got to try and fill this time.
No, exactly. Like. But then they zoom back in as they're shocking him. And you see his arms and his legs jerk when they've shocked him with the defib machine. And then they carried on. But then his wife or girlfriend, I'm not sure if it's his wife or his girlfriend.
Wife, yeah.
Comes to the side of the pitch. And then obviously Simon Kjær and Kasper Schmeichel go over to it. Now, Kasper Schmeichel, I think, lip reading's not my forte, but when he went over to her, he said, and I'm sure he said, don't worry, he's okay. Now, I don't know whether he knew that at the time and whether they managed to bring him back around and get his heart going again. But the fact they then filmed her in tears thinking that her husband or boyfriend is dead on the pitch. Absolutely disgusting. And then obviously people were kicking off at the BBC. The BBC don't control the main feed of what they're showing. What the BBC could have done is cut back to the studio a lot sooner. Now, I don't know whether there was a conscious decision to do it and to keep it there until Ian Wright
tweeting saying cut to the fucking studio. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, I know it did. So, you know, look, It for me, it's the worst thing, and I was sat on my sofa shaking, watching it. It was harrowing is the best way I can describe it. Watching somebody who is the best player for that team is one of, you know, he's just played for Inter Milan, who've won the Italian league. He's been one of the better players in Europe in the past 5 years. I mean, you know, I know, put your club allegiances aside, he's a bloody good player.
Oh, he's a great player.
Bloody good player.
I really wanted him to come to Arsenal before he went to Tottenham. I really wanted him.
But
I thought he was the perfect Fabregas replacement for us.
Yeah. So it was for me, it's the worst thing I've witnessed watching football.
Yeah. It was horrible.
Now, the next bad thing is the game carrying on.
But the thing
and
is, though,
all the stuff that's come out about it since.
Yeah. So they said, well, first of all, my first problem with the announcement was the tweet from UEFA saying, oh, the game is carry on. This is the new kick. The game will be restarted at this time. And then just at the end, they just.
Oh, Ericsson's fine. Or he's stable. Yeah. No, surely you should start with that. Boom.
Instead of your see, we did a Super League episode, and UEFA came out of the Super League debacle looking like absolute, you know, the saviors of football, when actually they are bent and corrupt as ever, and it's all about money at them. Look at Cristiano Ronaldo's press conference today.
Yeah, took the two bottles of Coke away and put the water there.
Yeah, said, you know, don't drink this crap, drink water.
But he'll get into trouble for that.
Yeah, of course he will.
Because they're a sponsor.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, I mean, the decision, I mean, apparently.
It would have been great if Ronaldo just popped out a Pepsi bottle and replaced it.
that would have been funny, or Red Bull or something.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Red Bull, if you're interested in sponsoring the Dome Patrol, please hit us up on Twitter.
Definitely.
But you know, so it came out that the Danish players had agreed to play when they found out that Eriksen was okay. That was the first story that came out, wasn't it?
Eriksen wanted them to carry on.
Yeah, that was the first one that came out. Then it was that UEFA had told them that they carry it on today or they come back at 12 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if they don't play it either today or tomorrow, so it would have been Saturday or Sunday, you'll forfeit the game for a 3-0 defeat. Why was calling the game a draw, both of them getting a point, not an option?
Exactly. I feel Finland felt... Then Denmark had done this competition. They had done. There's no way emotionally you come back from that.
No.
No, yeah, I it must be a very weird camp to be in at the moment. I mean, there's no way you come back from that.
No, the guy who scored the goal, right? He's just scored a goal in Finland's first international tournament in their first game to put them 1-0 up with 20 minutes to go.
He ran off
to celebrate that goal like a madman, like you normally would. But very, very quickly, he realised that that wasn't the right thing to do.
Yeah, fair play
to him. Stopped. So fair play to him, and you know. But yeah, I mean, what would have been wrong with just calling that game? Both to get a point. Off you go.
There was plenty of. They could have easily just gone back next day, 12 o'clock, and played again. I think because it wouldn't have UEFA, the greedy money ball they are, it wouldn't have affected any TV shenanigans for the next day or anything. But yeah, it was. So distasteful and disgusting from UEFA, and it doesn't surprise me though.
No, the good thing is that Christian Eriksen is alive. He seems well.
Yeah.
He tweeted out from hospital today. You know, I mean, look, there's no point speculating about what caused it or what that means for his career.
Some of the stories coming out about it.
I mean, the first one was, he had his COVID vaccine. 12 days before the tournament, the Inter Milan doctors came out and said, nope, that's not true. He hasn't had his COVID vaccine. He's not been vaccinated. Yeah. So get that story out straight away. You'd imagine he's probably going to struggle to play top level professional football again.
He's 29 now, isn't he? So,
you know, he's gonna struggle, which is a shame. And you know, I hope he does come back and play because he's an absolutely brilliant football player. To watch,
yeah. But we'll see what happens with him.
I'd
love to hopefully say he'll play again. But if you given the chance of a second life, I think you take it two rounds and you weigh up the options.
Look, mate, you know, don't need to go into any details here, but because of what happened to me back in August last year,
yeah.
I'm fully aware of matters of that particular part of your body and, you know, what it can do and stuff like that. So, you know, the good thing is he's okay, he's alive, and, you know, the tournament can carry on without that shadow over it. Okay, so I suppose the next thing to do is just do a quick preview of the... Of the second round of games, really.
Let's do a quick
fire round of what you think the scores are going to be. So, first game tomorrow is Finland versus Russia.
1-1.
Okay, I think Russia are going to win that. Turkey-Wales, that's a Turkey win all day for me.
6-0 Turkey.
6-0 Turkey, okay, that's fine. And then Italy-Switzerland, I think that's a fairly comprehensive Italy victory.
2-0 Italy.
Yeah, comfortable victory. Yeah. Okay, then on Thursday, Ukraine versus North Macedonia.
2-0 Ukraine.
Yeah, I think Ukraine will have too much for them.
Yeah.
I think they will. Denmark, Belgium. I think we've covered this already. Denmark are going to find it difficult to motivate themselves. I think Belgium win that. Yeah, fairly comfortably. And then the Netherlands versus Austria.
2-1 Netherlands.
Yeah, and the Dutch looked okay going forward. Didn't look so great at the back.
We did say that, didn't we? We said that last week.
We did. Without Van Dijk, they were going to struggle.
Yeah.
Okay, so Friday, Sweden versus Slovakia. That could be 0-0.
Yeah, 1-1.
I mean, Sweden did Sweden do well to keep Spain out last night?
I like the look of their striker, Sweden.
Isaac. Yeah, they're going to get more of the ball against Slovakia. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Sweden, like I said, they're the Burnley of Europe.
Yeah, 1-1.
They are. Croatia versus the Czech Republic. Now, this could be a sneaky good game, this one on Friday.
2-0 Croatia.
You think Croatia are going to... I think that could be a draw.
I think
that's going to be a draw, that one. And then the biggest game of the tournament, bar none, Friday
night. It's the oldest international fixture.
It is the oldest international fixture in football history, and it's where England are going to annihilate Scotland 4-0.
6-0.
6-0.
I'm telling you, Scotland. Every prediction for Scotland and Wales are going to lose 6-0.
Okay, fine. Even if they play each other.
That'll be what my brain works.
Six or draw.
There'll be a mass ball points deducted, and they'll both go down losing 6-0.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Hungary versus France. That's a France
4-0 France.
That's a France win, isn't it? Yeah. Portugal v Germany. Now that could be 2-1. That's the big game, really, because that may decide who plays England in the second round.
Yeah, that's on Saturday, isn't it?
That is on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then Spain, Poland.
Spain.
Spain again. Spain will win that one, but 1-0, 2-0 won't be much.
Yeah, it'd be boring.
That is the second round of fixtures.
Yeah, what did we have as our top goal scorers? Did any of them score this round one? You had Kane, didn't you?
No, I said Mbappe, didn't I?
You said Mbappe.
I said
Ronaldo, didn't I?
You did, and he scored two.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah.
Still going at 36, unbelievable.
Yeah, still going to 36, and today and tonight it's being linked with a move back to the Premier League.
I can see him being at Man United next year.
Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. So, that is round of games one covered, round of games two previewed. And I'm assuming we'll be recording again after the games on Saturday night.
Yeah, we can record Saturday night. Or Sunday morning, we'll get a podcast out for you guys.
Yeah, Sunday. There's two games on Sunday, and that's both games from Group A to decide
and
who goes
at the same
through
time
in that one.
As well.
And they're both at 5 o'clock. Yeah, they're both at 5 o'clock.
I don't enjoy that part of the competition where both games run at the same time.
No, it's just an excuse to have the TV on and then a laptop or an iPad with the other game, isn't it? That's all it means.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Right. Okay, right, Ben. Thank you for hopping on to record post game tonight.
And, no worries. That's perfect.
Thank you, listeners, for listening. Please feel free to check out all the Dome Patrol United's podcasts on whatever podcast app you use. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're all over the place. You can find us on Twitter. And as I said the other day, butchered really badly, but we have multiple shows that we put out for you. We have the main Saints show. We have Taking the Over, the gambling show, Dave Romero's BS and Beer. We've got the Pelicans Plunge with Jason and Ben. And we also have the Tigers Den if college football or college sports and LSU are your thing. So please check us out when you can. Say goodnight, Ben.
Good night and come in England.
At the right time, you can be slow or fast, but you